Need to give everything that you've got.
And we are not the only one. There's other. It's not uncommon to see emails coming through the night in this company. I mean, we are sleeping, dreaming, eating revelia. It's not even a matter of I have to do this. It's a matter of this is our lifestyle, right? This is our baby. This is our hobby as well, right? This is what we do for fun, and this is what we do for, not to say that we don't do other things for fun, for sure we do, but this is part of our life on the day to day. So it's kind of, I think that's another thing about entrepreneurship. It's not that you have your wall with your nice paycheck that you get in the end of the month. You make this your dream, you make this your day-to-day, you make this
your... We got the Entrepreneur Podcast here, new episode with Moran and Sneer from Revelia, which is a very interesting platform focused on subscription, billing, and payments in the SaaS industry. If you guys can just give a quick intro, we're live now with the members to your company, as well as, you know, how you guys kind of got started in entrepreneurship in general. I think that would give us a really good sense to from where to take this.
So, Chris, thank you for taking the time and actually interviewing us. This is really awesome. We are excited. My name again is Sneer, and I start my entrepreneurship around 20 something years ago. Okay. I always was working for myself as an entrepreneur, from a business to a business. I started in the retail industry, cosmetics, if I want to be specific. Then I learned the need for a reoccurring customers and what is the value of that. I went to an e-commerce arena back in 2009, and we start to work and understand where is the limitation of those platforms and what will be the future. The future back then was to have a responsive website. That was the future with HTML5. I looked at the solutions and I said, we need to have the ability to have a reoccurring revenue in an e-commerce. And this is how everything started. It started as a small checkout solution, and things progress. And here we are today. Moran?
Well, thank you for having us, Chris. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm Moran Mizrahi, one of the co-founders here in Revelia. In my past experience, I've been through the arena of retail, e-commerce, and grew up together with Sneer into the subscription arena. Been doing a lot of bankruptcy and reorganization. Basically, it took a pretty good entrepreneurship stand, but used to do it for others, right? Risking someone else's money in the past deal. Sneer dragged me into this great experience, which feel totally different, but allow me to use my old skills as well. And I'm grateful for you having us today to talk about all that.
Cool. Great. So, guys, a question that I ask everybody is, like, did you always... We're obviously helping entrepreneurs, right, start their businesses. A couple of them are listening in right now. How did you guys always see yourself as entrepreneurs? Do you have entrepreneurs in the family? How did that, you know what I'm saying? What was your outlook?
It's a good question.
I think it's a good start one. Because the answer is very different, right? Sneer is...
Okay.
Sneer from
it's day different between
one.
You.
Being an entrepreneur, I've been the one that I guess have this set of mind. I'm very opportunistic. I'm seeing the big picture. I believe in teamwork. So a lot of the skills and the assets that entrepreneur need, I never had, I guess, I was not as bold as Sneer, so I wouldn't say I burned into that. I learned on the go. So that's about me. Sneer on the other end, and he will tell you, is a real entrepreneur, I think. Is putting the E into the entrepreneurship, and he can tell you.
Gotcha.
Well, thank you, first of all. I almost always been an entrepreneur. I remember that my first job was in age of 10. I was carrying bags for people, you know, in the grocery, right? That was my first experience as an entrepreneur. I always been an entrepreneur, always been attracted to that. To be honest, I don't know something else. In the last 20 plus years, just been an entrepreneur. I had several businesses. I had a lot of failures, some success, and here we are with Rebilia.
Got it. So I guess what are your guys' roles in the business, and sort of how do you sort of manage that relationship, I guess, as co-founders? Or who else is involved in the business from a management perspective?
So roles-wise, officially is the CEO. I'm the COO. I'm managing operations. But I think that like everything else in entrepreneurship, it's kind of grew on you. You're wearing a lot of hats and you end up doing what you're good at. And more than that, strengthening a lot of your weaknesses on the go, right? So is more the vision, is more seeing the future, the product, where we're going with it, where the market goes. When I'm a bit more on, let's go and get it. How we execute on that? I would call it operation, but it's not really operation from the logistic or business standpoint, right? I'm more of, okay, this is what we're doing. Let me see how we nail that. I'm also taking the head of the PR and kind of networking and doing a lot of the handshaking for the company. But overall, a lot of us doing a lot of things. We do have other partners in the company. We are pretty lucky to have very wide,
very, very wide spectrum of
people
and gotcha. Skills. We started this business with a dear friend of mine and a brother, Jason Aftermar. He's the general counsel of the company. I know Jason for around 17 years or so. We always been friends, and we started that business. I act as Moran said, as the CEO, the visionary in the product, the solution to the problem. I really understand the problem from personal experience. And I'm trying even today when we have a meeting with investors and the day by day, I'm trying to stay with the product, close to the product, because if you're not really close to the product, as the CEO, I don't believe that the company will go to the right direction, and the direction can change based on the need, but the general compass will aim to the ocean, as we say.
And we have other great team members. If we're talking about the team.
Yes, I'm not gonna forget. Probably gonna forget some names. Avery Mintz. Dear friend of mine is not here with us, is in the next two rooms. And Avri is definitely the product. he know the product by oral, been working with Avri for almost a decade together. And we, again, we have a board of advisory from vast of skills from security to business to anything that that we need. We have people in house and outside that we can talk to and work on the problem.
And I would say that what I learned about entrepreneurship in the last decade, that for me, it's become all about the people that working with you. And what exciting about it, I think that real entrepreneurship, real startup business is all about how many people you can pull into the plate that really need to dig in and help you and roll up their sleeves and do whatever it takes to make this a success. And I think that almost every person we talk with that we decide to form a relationship is really digged in and
rolled his sleeves and gave his,
right,
his heart. Everybody over here is really put their heart into the business. As a co-founder, I started the business. Moran started with me the business, and there is a certain capacity to each one of us. And as an entrepreneur, you need to wear a lot of hats. But the secret is your people, to give them the responsibility. And what I see is generally when people get responsibility, they actually take it seriously. And we are very, very lucky to have those amazing people that working with us. And I'm not only talking about partners from the junior developer to accounting, right? Everybody over here is super awesome, and we are lucky. I want to say.
Gotcha. So I guess for the people who are just joining us, so a lot of the people in our accelerator are marketing agencies. Some of them are smaller software companies. Break down for me, sort of technically speaking, like what types of companies like benefit most from your product, and what's like the biggest pain point that it solves for them?
Okay, so Rebilia is a subscription billing platform or subscription management platform.
Okay.
We designed the product for businesses that rely on recurring revenue or subscription, if it's membership or any other model. The vertical is very wide. Anybody in the SaaS industry that we'd like to charge his customers on a subscription base can join the customer list that we have here, and we are lower the compliance to our customers. We lower the we make the time to market much faster. We accelerate time to market. And obviously the cost. If you as a startup need to deal with your billing as well, that will require a lot of efforts. And what we discover from personal experience is that if you don't have a good billing software, you're gonna lose revenue. And in some cases, you're not even going to know about it.
And I think to add to it, that if there's a question that we have very hard time to answer is about our verticals, because people cannot digest it. But the uniqueness of Rebilia, that we built a software that is matching to all. We do not look for those that match to our software. We build a software that allowing our merchant to serve better their clients. And that is not a matter of who you are, what industry you work for. If a customer, if a merchant is looking to grow their LTV or reduce their churn, we are a match. The way we approach subscription is a little bit different than, I think,
the competitors, let's face it.
The market in general. So I think that the market grow to subscription, right? Everything goes right now to subscription. I wouldn't even talk about this too much, but I think there's also another trend in the market that this is an on-demand generation. We all want what we want now. No one wants to commit. No one wants to wait for their once a month or wait to their product or commit to specific things, right? We are a very different generation than what our parents used to be 20 years. Even our parents are different now, right? No one wants to commit to one plan on a cable TV and get stuck with one thing versus the other, right? We don't want to make those choices anymore. And the offering is so big today that you have to be customer-centric nowadays. You have to give your customer what they want.
And the flexibility.
So in other words, subscription is something that normally occur on a very, very occurring way, right? And on demand is, I want what I want now. So I think we came with a formula that combined the two concepts together and allow our merchant to give their clients exactly what they want. So to create this loyalty between the merchant and the customer. And that is our uniqueness. That's how flexible we are. We always say that challenge us just to any type of subscription that we cannot do.
Billing model that we cannot do, I guess.
And this is, I guess, our uniqueness. So if that's...
The way that we achieve that, and it's really important maybe to understand what's unique about Rebilia, we broke the subscription from its part. So what is a subscription for our competitors, for us, it's variable. The subscription don't have to be the same product. The subscription don't have to be the same frequency. What we found is a lot of businesses, as Moran said, looking for subscription right now, even if they are traditionally not, they don't have the product for subscription based. Now they're finding the need to jump into the game. And our competitors are really stuck into the same product, the same price. Maybe there is some variation, but it's very, very limited. When you break the subscription from its part, you can make much more flexible, truly flexible models, even cross-selling between businesses. So imagine that we both friends, and I'm selling coffee and she's selling tea and milk. I can offer a plan that will offer you, let's say, coffee every X amount of times, and from time to time, tea, and from time to time, maybe milk. The end user will manage everything through my business because that's what he know. But we, as a business owner, can make a profit off of that. So even if you don't have the same product that you're selling and somebody else selling the product that maybe gonna match your subscription, you can cross-selling. And that is a huge benefit for businesses. And this is really an add-on value.
And I think that's why we say that it's very hard for us to choose a vertical. Because we're really a good match for a variety of clients. We look at the whole thing a little bit differently.
Holistically.
If a merchant, if a business likes to change their way of how they centralize their customers, then this is a match. Obviously, we serve in both SaaS and e-commerce in a general way. We have a lot of interest from basically... consumer goods and food and beverages industry, but also hospitality, media entertainment companies are the ones that come in a lot towards us, healthcare, we basically automotive. we're here to bring a blue ocean of subscription and billing that hopefully can change the world. That's basically kind of answer the questions about the verticals in a way.
Got it. In terms of marketing is like a big issue for a lot of people here. You know, they're trying to manage their budgets, figure out where they put the dollars. Is it marketing or sales? How do you guys think about marketing? How do you approach it? Is there a lot of advertising that you do? How are you sourcing new clients? Is it through your network? What's the main
avenue? It's a good question and important question. We've been lucky to get customers actually contacting us for the most part. If it's tier one or tier three, we're doing some outreach lately, and we're doing a lot of community events. And this is where we find a lot of relationship, and from relationship we have the business. Maybe you want to add something?
Well, I would say that in regards to our marketing approach, do not try it at home. It's not necessarily the right thing to do. But as a lot of startups, we do not have the budget to advertise and go into a deep marketing campaign, but we do things a little bit differently. And I think we've been pretty lucky in that arena. We have integrate into marketplaces, so they are promoting us directly and we enjoy the clients. We want to do more, obviously, as every other company. It's always a matter of budget. But I think to touch base what Still just said, where we see the most success is we network. We network and we find out that another way to market ourselves is just to help our community. So we participate a lot in events, in networking, in panels.
Volunteering a lot.
We're volunteering. We have a little tech and entrepreneurship community, and we're basically trying to do good. We're trying to do good regardless, and we find that a lot of our branding and marketing coming from that arena. So that is something that's been really helpful that anyone can do without a really big budget, right? That's kind of proved itself to bring in a lot of handshakes and get interest. Overall, I think it's smart to invest more in sales and marketing that we usually do, and this is something we're now growing into and trying to do a little bit more of it and learn about this arena.
If I need to to say about maybe something that I would change, and this is what I recommend to all the listeners, entrepreneurs, invest in the relationship more than the product. The product is important, and once you have a MVP, that's good enough to. For the most part, the relationship with investors, relationship with potential customers, that's where the money come. That's where we put our efforts. Of course, we are open for round A right now, and we want to put more active role in the branding, marketing, and advertise. That is a start, right? Before you have the money, relationship, bringing business, bringing money, and I think that's where 90% of at least in the first stage of the company need to be in the relationship.
Yeah, but I think also we've been pretty grateful to have a good product market fit. We find that we have a great product market fit kind of from, I want to say, day one. So that has been, gave us a great tool to understand the potential and what can be done with that software. I think things would have been different if we would have found that we have to tackle the product over and over again. In other words, I'm glad to find out we didn't find a problem to a solution, and we actually really tackled the product in a way that it's a solution to a big problem. So that's a kind of the advantage of it.
It's always best to have the to experience the problem as an entrepreneur, so then you really know the solution, or how you would like to have that solution. And this is how we start here. We just didn't have a good retention on machine, right? And we had to build it ourselves, because nothing at the time was available for a small website. And this is how everything start and form.
How do you guys think about sort of budgeting? Like, I don't know if you fundraised, or how do you think about sort of like the financials of running the company, or what's your philosophy?
So thank you for asking that. This is really important. We are open for round A. So if any investors is listening to us, we are here.
we're really strong in bootstrapping, let's put it that way. Yes. I find that this is one of our biggest strength. I think that the machine that we created is very very effective from a perspective of
manpower.
But we, as I said, invest more into the 20% that bring us the 80% versus anything else. So we do live a life that we're always in a rush. There's not a lot of time to play around. There's not a lot of time for spending extra time. Let's put it that way. We don't, as a company, go to a lot of company retreats, and we're more about go and have internal fun and utilize your time correctly. And we really are bootstrapped. We also pretty proud of being able to choose our clients. So we also being smart about what clients can we take and what clients we can physically cannot take.
And that's huge.
Seems like a rich people problem, but it is a real problem. But, you know, that's kind of what we have to do as a company. I am grateful and glad that we came up with a product that kind of bring traction, which is amazing. It's great. But then we do have to think twice. Is that customer is way too big for us? Is that customer is way too small for us? Would it be able to run with this product and grow with us? But once we do align a client, I think we will keep this client at. So we are a niche. We are a match to specifics, to many specifics, I guess.
I would say boutique.
But
what is the word boutique?
For sure, boutique. But once a client is up and running with us, we really do help him to grow. We really focus on low churn rate. We really focus on helping each and every client to grow. We focus on LTV. So that is kind of our current, I guess, business model in a way.
The way maybe to say it, if we're talking about business model, the commercial with Rabilia is we make money when you make money. So our interest as a company, it's to help our merchants to grow their business. And every tool that we build into our system is designed to make more money to the merchant, because if the merchant make money, we make a small cut out of that. But it's add on, right? And we are really give our heart to our customers, and this is what bringing money into the company. Of course, I had to early beginning of the company, I had to risk my own money, and Marianne as well. We all had to put your balls where your mouth is. Sorry for the bold language, but it's actually true. If you believe in your product, if you truly believe in your product as an entrepreneur, go all the way, risk everything. This is the only way that I know to make it. When you don't have other option and you give everything that you've got, you're gonna see success. You always need to believe. It's not uncommon to receive an email from Maren and I in 2 or 3 in the morning. We sleep not more than 5 hours. I would.
Is that right?
Yes. Sure. And we, look, this is the only way that we know how to do it. You need to give everything that you've got.
Oh, and we are not the only one. There's other. It's not uncommon to see emails coming through the night in this company. I mean, we are sleeping, dreaming, eating Rebilia. It's not even a matter of I have to do this. It's a matter of this is our lifestyle, right? This is our baby. This is our hobby as well, right? This is what we do for fun, and this is what we do for not to say that we don't do other things for fun, for sure we do, but this is part of our life on the day to day. So it's kind of, I think that's another thing about entrepreneurship. It's not that you have your walk with your nice paycheck that you get in the end of the month. You make this your dream. You make this your day to day. You make this
your life.
This is what you do. This is part of your life. There's no, there is some very little life work balance, but there is no professional life and personal life. It's kind of all mixed out. We are here in the company, good friends, feels like family, and we also working together, and it's definitely get mixed.
With most of the people here, as I said, we've been working on different project for close to a decade. Avery, my partner, we've been together to several products until we created Rebilia platform. And that's mean something, I think. You leave the business with your partner, partners, and that's the way that we believe. It's the right way.
What have been the biggest challenges for you guys with this company? What have been like the toughest moments? I mean, you were alluding to some things kind of before we got started here, but like what have been the toughest moments?
I would love to answer that. And I think every entrepreneur probably experienced that. I remember that in the beginning, when we didn't have anything, right? You need to start something. I had the best app, you know, as an entrepreneur that you can enjoy. And the lowest of the lowest, and sometimes you had several of them in the same day. So it's kind of a roller coaster, right? Especially in the beginning, do I have the product or I don't have the product? Like solution, can I make it? okay, we found a way to do it. Great. And then you find in the beginning, oh, but there's this thing that we didn't thought about it. Oh my God, we don't have a product. Those up and down was a big challenge mentally to an entrepreneur. And you need to overcome it. And you need to understand that this is part of being an entrepreneur, this roller coaster. Now it's been a stable from the beginning, but the beginning was really tough. And I salute to any entrepreneur that take the risk. And people that are not entrepreneurs, sometimes they looked at entrepreneurs as, you know, the grass is always green with your neighbor, right? But it's come with a lot of hard work. In many hours, man hours, myself and the team to create something from nothing, and that is
that's the biggest thing, right?
That's the biggest thing. I would say.
And for me, it's funny that you asked this question because I just realized I don't think I can pinpoint what is the toughest thing. I just think I learned to understand that they kind of look like that, right? I already know when I wake up in the morning that it's another day of going through challenges and be happy about it. It's kind of like raising a child, right? It's really, really fun, but it's really hard on the same time. And but I think the day-to-day challenges are not something I'm not equipped to right now. One thing that is a challenge for me is to sometimes explain all that to my friends that are not entrepreneurs. Sometimes it's just people that not been through that don't get it.
They don't get it at all.
Yeah. You cannot come to my party. What do you mean? You know, things in that nature. I'm sorry, I have a meeting with investor.
Why are you walking so hard? What is it?
I heard that one last night. Yeah.
They don't get it. 24/7. It's really is like raising a child, and I don't think they get it. And I did mention that to solve this little tweak, I find out this is my biggest challenge. So we came up with. We just raised a little tech and entrepreneurship community here in Atlanta. And I think this is kind of where things are getting brighter. But till we had this little community, I felt that I'm going crazy. I mean, why no one else understand? Till I did get into this arena of other people that experienced the same thing. It's almost like experiencing a secret. Right, something that you cannot explain. I'm not even trying anymore to explain this to someone else. A lot of people think that entrepreneurship is just fun and cool, which it is, right? Or they see it as working for yourself. They don't get it. Working for yourself means a lot of discipline, yeah. A lot of hard work. There's not necessarily there's maybe a fat check that would wait for you at some point, but sometimes you don't
get this. At least
that's
the chance that you are taking as an entrepreneur.
This solid paycheck of the end of the month is something that not necessarily going to be there, at least in the beginning it was like that. And it's a lot of risk. So I'm just glad that I've been able to tackle this challenge with talking about it, being part of it, I'm trying to be supportive. I try to get mentoring from other entrepreneurs, and I'm trying to mentor as many new entrepreneurs as I can and kind of participating into those debates and talk with people that understand. I also think that and Atlanta, by the way, is very interesting about that. Atlanta is a very much... a swamp for entrepreneurs, It's a very open environment. I've been surprised by that. And I think people are there to help each other. So that is kind of how we maneuver in those challenges.
I would like to say regarding the last point, we are supporting each other as entrepreneur. The fact that we have a tech group, right, that we are doing events and the connections, it's to support, to help, you know, other entrepreneurs to scale up, right, or to move their business forward, launch their business. But it's also a therapy for us. Believe it or not, it's like to see a baby. If I am looking at one of the guys that in the group, and you see him start to take off, you know, you introduce him to maybe a potential investor or potential client, and things actually mature. For me, there is a lot of satisfied in that. And Rebilia as a business is definitely a child, right? And to see the baby Rebilia grow, for me, there is a lot of proud in that and satisfaction, and that is the way that I'm receiving my internal power to move forward, to be able to provide to other, to our merchants, the tools to really accelerate their business and to see them successful. It's for me, it's unbelievable. One of the best example is a client of us, and due to privacy, I'm not going to be able to mention the name, but you might know them. They pretty big in what they do. And those guys came to me with $1 million a year, 15 years in business, $1 million. A year in revenue, and they wanted to start a subscription. Fast forward, they crossed the $80 million a year, 2 years in business with Rebilia. For me, there is a lot of satisfaction in that. I helped them do that, and that's awesome for me.
Got it. So I guess sort of tying everything together, and we have a lot of the members in the group just pinging me right now questions, but what are some of like the biggest takeaways? Like if you could go back in time, you know, 10 years or whatever to like when you were first getting started, like what are some of the biggest takeaways that you've learned that you would impart on yourself?
Bring the money as quick as you can from investors. A huge mistake that we made was, and then we've been pretty young at the time, let's call it argue, it's not the right word, but argue on a percentage, right? With potential investor, if somebody wanna give you money, right? Don't break the deal because of a couple of percentage, because this money that this investor give you and invest in you, believe in you, can change the business tremendously. You can bootstrap a business, and it's good to bootstrap even if you have the money from the investors, but You need to focus on bringing money and not to put the efforts on the products, right? MVP, it's good enough. Now, relationship with investors, relationship with potential customers. That is one mistake that we did. We put a lot of efforts in the product, and we pretty much launched almost a complete product. We with vast, a lot of functionality, a lot of abilities, right? From marketing emails and communication to analytics and so on and so on. I would start with the MVP and focus on bringing money.
Well, I think in other words, we've been a bit emotional. I think that we did look at this business as a baby. So I'm pretty proud of how we got to what we got at the journey. It would have been easier to do it with a lot of money, but I wouldn't take off what we have accomplished without really getting money up front. At first, we didn't want to give up percentage from the company because we really believed in that. So that's a very bold and nice and strong entrepreneurship story to tell. But as I said before, maybe I wouldn't try that at home. If I would have do things, or as Sneer say, I think that if you would redo things, you would focus on getting money so we could have run.
Be more flexible with the investor.
Faster. And I think that also to mention, we did have a good journey with investors. There was a lot of interest. So that's also a great thing, that title to the great product that we came up with. So we cannot just ignore that fact. So it's coming and in the end, right? It's what's come first, the egg or the chicken? Do you bring a really good product, find a product market fit, prove yourself, and then get investors for a little bit less percentage once you're already settled in the market? Or do you sell a dream and then maybe give up 50 or 40% of your company and get money and then pursue this dream?
Sell the dream.
Cool. So two questions here. One would be like, if for people who are like younger, they're balancing like school or something, you know, you're talking about the demands of entrepreneurship. Like, do you have any ideas for how they should manage that on top of like starting a business or running a business?
Don't sleep.
Yeah. Skip the sleep.
Well,
sleep is overrated, guys. It's overrated completely. You don't need more.
I agree with that.
Five hours.
Well, I have a theory that honestly, when you go and you have no choice, you just go and you find the time. I have started this journey during an MBA with a set of twins, young ones, 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I had 3 kids under the age of 4, an MBA in place, and I was part of this company working full time. It was a lot about, you know, I wouldn't just say don't sleep. I would say that once you start something and you're passionate about, you find the time, right? It's become to be part of your hobby. I think sometimes when your life runs very fast, the way startups are, this energy of keep running, bringing more energy to do things. I think that if I had to do this only without doing anything else, I think I would have been end up more tired, less with less abilities. The go, 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 push, 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 have no time. You have to run, run, run. That's kind of what bring in the next success. That's what give you more power. That's your energy drink, basically. So definitely doable during school. Leverage your school and your network to learn. I think doing that during school is great because...
you can find cheap labor, right?
More manpower, people that are willing to advise you, people that have the time to maybe help you, try out your product. So this is where you start your great network, right there and then. So awesome time to start. Definitely better than when you have a full-time job and you have to perform in both. So,
well, you have to perform in school, right?
Yeah.
So don't sleep, guys. Don't sleep.
There's always something.
I think that's good advice.
There's always something going on, right? No one is really just available to sit and no one is really available to start a startup. Honestly.
Cool.
You just go and get it.
One of the other people here is asking, why did you guys not bootstrap? Did you know that you were not going to bootstrap from the beginning?
No. We did bootstrap.
That's what I thought.
That was something that we did. We completely bootstrap and rely on personal investment and angel investment. What I meant before is try to get the money even before you have the product.
But we definitely bootstrap.
Right. I get what you're saying. Bootstrap. I got the point. Yeah.
It's the other way around.
I mean, we exhaust any way or form of doing things for as cheap
bootstrap.
As possible.
Yeah. We completely, completely exhaust all resources, right? But if I needed to change something, I would maybe put more times and efforts in the beginning chasing over money and not over the product. That's what I meant before, if it was not clear.
And to elaborate a little bit more about the bootstrap part of things, I think what we did is we used, so instead of maybe bringing the smarter CFO, right? We have used someone that
partial CFO
as part of our board of advisory. So we use people that are very smart, already been there, done that, did great in their career, not necessarily need the money, see the vision, and willing to walk on some small equity. Or at the beginning of the road, we gave chance for 17 and 18 year olds, even younger. Believe it or not, a year and a half ago when it was really hard to get employees, we have used teenagers and gave them opportunity. And you know what? Those people are
interesting.
And I would love to talk about this opportunity, and I would like to talk to all the entrepreneurs here. I'm not going to mention his name, the pilot. Something that really surprised me, and I learned a lot, we volunteer a lot in the for kids with autism. And my first experience was Maureen came to me and said, "Hey, I got this this kid is like 18 years old. Is
he's 17
at the time, and is on the spectrum. He's genius, right? He got some award in math and things like that, and he would like to have a chance to start. And nobody wanted to give him a chance, obviously, in the beginning. And we gave him the chance. And what I found is an amazing, amazing person with amazing ability. It's not every day you learn something like that, and believe it or not, this kid been with us a couple of years, grew with us, and we're still using one of his product, an older CRM we have here that he built from scratch, and we still use it today. It's really useful for us. Fast forward, this kid called us a couple of years later. And he's a pilot now. He has his own plane, and he took us
took the entire people in the company to fly with
To fly each one of us on a small Cessna, and to see where this kid start and where is he today. After a couple of years, we just couldn't afford the salary that he deserved in the beginning, and he really wanted to stay, but I told him, man, I think you should, I love you and you are great and I would love to keep you, but I think that now there is an opportunity for you to get a better salary. He had an opportunity from one of the corporate 100, took that, and I'm very, very proud of him. That was the first experience with kids on the spectrum for me. And since then, I discover the ability that some of those kids have, and utilize them. If you can help, hand checking hand, you know, it will help. It will help you guys to help others, and good things will come. That's my philosophy.
Hired him not because we was trying to help him. He was helping us, right? He was super smart, but also could ignore the little problems of startups, right? We've been arguing about lunch. This was not a professional setting at first. So
he was from the basement.
He could ignore every little thing. He didn't mind coming to work, walking from the basement. He didn't mind asking bold questions. We just love that. And I think a lot of the young minds are not have set up yet with the corporate set of mind, are coming fresh from their interaction in school, high school, maybe college. So give those young minds.
Give them a chance. And
it's just amazing the way they operate.
Mm.
Something that I'm very proud of as an entrepreneur doing those years, and not only Billy, I'm talking about maybe some other things that I had, it's to see people that working for you actually grow and what they are today. I remember a couple of people that was working for me many, many years ago. Today, one of them is a successful lawyer, and another is a doctor, and it's amazing to see how they start and where they are today, and it's make me satisfied.
Yeah, I think that's a very poignant point there. I think as somebody who mentors people, I can identify with that this sort of whole journey and that's like one of the more rewarding aspects.
Awesome. They are really awesome. You just need to understand the set of mind. Give them a chance.
Cool. So guys, we will end it on that. I think that's a very good point there. Any final kind of parting points? Where can people find you guys? How do they follow what you're doing with Rebilia? And how do we stay in touch?
So, first of all,
with the fancy office in the background there,
right? Please, our office is always open to everyone that need a space, maybe for a meeting. We have wonderful office over here. So if you or one of the listeners are in Atlanta in a meeting, need to have a cool space. We are open over here. You can find us at rebilia.com. It's rebilia.com.
On social media, social media, right? LinkedIn, Moran Mizrahi on LinkedIn, Snir Avidan on LinkedIn. And yes, we definitely, as you mentioned, open for visitors, open to discuss. In general, we very much about, as I said, about handshaking and networking, and that's kind of how we bring our value in our business. So looking forward to hear from you all.
Be bold, guys.
Be bold. I like that. Cool. All right, guys, this is the One From Our Podcast. Yeah, thanks for coming
on. Thank you so much for this.
Well, thank you for having us. We enjoyed that very much. Right down.
like your label, boy, you in a scope right now. And you gon' feel the aftermath of what I write down. I'm at the top of the mountain, so you tight now. Just